from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Welcome to everything. Robin is not here today. Robin is ill, so we may be hearing from her. I don't know for sure, but at the moment, she's basically not here. Yours truly, myself, is going to sit here and bumble through, see what we can do, and see how we can make it work. Wonder which one of those things says I'm on. Okay. Anyway, hopefully, all goes well. We've got lots of things to talk about today, lots and lots and lots of things to talk about today. One, of course, is the shooting that went on in Colorado. Everybody's still talking about all of that, and there's lots of things to say about that. Also, I want to talk about the economy, significantly so, because there's lots of things to say about that, too, let me tell you. And the other thing is Penn State. I don't want to cover very much about that, but there is some things to say about that. We can also talk about Tampa because the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention come up soon in Tampa, Florida, and they're a little worried because there's lots of stuff going on that could be worried about in Tampa. Do I have somebody on here? Let's see. What do I do to push the button? Is there someone here?
Yeah, if you push the button, it really works great.
Well, I thought that's what this was, but I thought I'd wait and see what happens and see who's here and see how it works. So, hi, how are you?
Hi, this is Roving Robin.
You're talking at least. You well?
Yeah, thanks to medications, you know, when you got a huge toothache, it's like, just shoot me now.
Well, I know some of those medications, and well, I'll watch this line very closely if you want to talk or not. It can affect you.
Yeah, really fun. But anyway, yeah, I got about 5 minutes to my destination, but I thought I'd call in and say hi to everybody and help you open the show there for a second.
Yeah, okay. And any particular thing you want to talk about or anything like that?
No, you pretty much covered the list of things that are going on. There is an interesting news item today in Oregon, I guess. There's a study called Shadow Flicker regarding the windmills. And what's really interesting about that, it was an 18-month program that nobody knows who authorized it, and they have no idea how much money it cost them.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like Oregon.
They were certain before the study that all those windmills, Shadow Flicker, caused epileptic seizures. So
it does. Okay.
Yeah. Remember, this is from the state that also seriously wanted to hire a Klingon translator.
Yes. I can't believe that. Oh, God, I tell you. Well, we are getting a lot of energy out of our windmills at this particular time. Well, I don't know if we're ahead of the game, ahead of everybody else or not, but I know we've got other big windmills coming here very shortly, so it is an interesting thing to consider. I don't know how much of anything that shadow things. I mean, these windmills are right away from everybody. They're not right here in downtown or anything like that. So, and there have been windmills that have been downtown. What do you think about? What about what's the country that has all the windmills? They've had windmills for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and nobody.
Oh, Swedish or Sweden and something like that.
Over in that area, and I don't see anybody falling over on their face there because of the windmill. I don't know. I think it's a lot of fun. I understand there's some noise problems, some noise pollution with the windmills, because windmills make a lot more noise than you think about. If you think of windmills, at least the windmills that we use do, but they even then not so bad that it's terrible. So I think it's
they're concerned about vibration and kamikaze birds.
kamikaze birds. Okay. All righty. I don't think there's any worry about vibration because they've spent a lot of time worrying about that. I went up. There's that hill up there in Goldendale. I went up there. Lordy Pete, it was in the early, either late 70s or early 80s, and they were working on windmills up there at that particular time. They had a great big windmill up there, so big that they couldn't get because when, as soon as it turned very fast at all, it ground up the bearings and tore them apart, so they had to get rid of it. But it's a thing. Been working on it for a long time, so I think people got it down myself as far as vibration is concerned. I don't worry too much.
Well, see, I personally think it's an evil plot, because when you go up the Columbia Gorge and see all those windmills, I think that what they are, that it's, they're planting all those, and at one point they're going to turn them all into big giant fans and change the rotation of the Earth.
Right. You know, they've already got the giant fans up there. Basically, they've got the giant fans because they've got those warming the fields in all of eastern Washington anyway. I know of, I assume they have them in eastern Oregon too, but they have the big windmills up there. They, you know, you think of them as being just windmills, but then when it gets cold, all of a sudden it sounds like Armageddon or something. You get these big, it sounds like huge airplanes flying over.
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds of plane engines running because they're noisy. They're big engines making those windmills. Let me tell you.
Yeah, you don't hear about anybody complaining about those.
Oh, yes, if you live up there, you do. Let me tell you. I was in downtown Toppenation. We're a long ways from any of them, and I could hear them like very well. I woke up about that, and I was going to work at the radio station, of course, and we could hear them inside this building that we were in. So they're there, and they, I don't know how much they complain about them because everybody knows they're part of the economy. They're what makes the economy work. And so you don't need to talk about the economy. Before, if you wanted something to yell about, believe me, before we had windmills with smudge pots, and that's what you want to yell about. Because I can remember waking up one morning in Yakima, Irby, and it was Yakima, and it was just black. It was incredibly black. It didn't switch at all because of the switch.
By the way, to let you know, in the tradition of Blog Talk Radio, you are cutting out a little bit.
Well, figures. Never fails.
It never fails. That's why we don't invite the president to come on the program.
Well, it's going to happen. It's going to, you know, a little late to worry about it now, so we'll see what happens to it. I can hear some voices in the background going. I'm also using a different computer and a different set of setup. So,
well, what do you expect? We're broadcasting from the 1,000 milliwatt broadcast facility in Cottage Grove, Oregon, where we get out a whopping 3 blocks.
That's about it. I'll get my new transmitter soon, and we'll get a mile.
Yeah. Don't you love technology?
Yeah, definitely do. The local radio station, the KSOW, signed off the air. We've got a problem getting new. And FCC, in their glory, has decided to require a new emergency broadcast system, a whole system that takes a computer and a I don't know what you want to call it, a monitor, etc. And it's $2,000, $3,000 to buy it, and they don't have the money for it, so they just went off the air.
Too bad, as hard as it is to get them. I'm seeing it going off the air. I'm just about to my destination. Anybody else? They opened up the phone line, by the way, a little promo, 646-721-9887. At least I remember the number this time to call in. Last time I had to call Cliff on his cell phone and go, what was that number I keep giving out every week? 646-721-9887. Give Cliff a call, help him out. Cliff, sounds like you got good topics. Again, I apologize for not being able to be there, but
hey, when you're sick, you're sick. So at least you don't sound too bad. So good to hear from you.
All right. Well, you have a good program. Give him a call, people. Help him out.
All right. 6721-9887. I have it written down here when I'm on this page. I have it sitting right in front of me so I can I can always remember it. 666-721-9887. We'll say goodbye to Robin and see if we can get somebody else to call and see
what's
on.
I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And if you've got something that you want to put in here, let us know and give us a call. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. And we'll talk about anything, of course, just absolutely anything that you want to talk about. But basically, what I want to talk about is the economy. And we'll start out by a little bit about this gun thing with the guy in Colorado. We'll start out with him because people are, you know, of course, the big thing is going to come up is people are going to start yelling about that shooting and saying gun control, gun control, gun control. I disagree. I don't think we need gun control. I don't think we need any change in the laws. This was not a standard thing that's going to happen. This is not going to happen again exactly the same. We do have one of these shootings every once in a while. This, I will have to admit, is considered to be the largest, the worst gun incident in the United States in, I think, forever. I think this is the worst thing ever in the United States. I'm not sure about that. A couple of people have said it was. A couple of people are saying no. But we've 10 people killed. Some say up to 12 people killed. And 70 others wounded or hurt. That doesn't mean that 70 of them were wounded and shot. Actually, some of those, a few of them, not a lot of them, but a few of them were hurt in the melee of trying to get out of the building while this was all happening. That's what they're saying anyway. So 58 people injured, and a gentleman who is involved with the thing was 24-year-old James Holmes. He went in there. He prepared for this. He set himself up for this. He did it all legally, by the way. This was not illegally. These were all, he bought the weapons illegally, rather legally. Well, I understand he had an assault weapon. I don't know if that for sure was bought legally or not, but most of it was. The ammunition he bought legally. He had 6,000 rounds of ammunition, but what? Interestingly enough, the gun jammed. The gun jammed. That seems to be sort of typical of automatic weapons. They jam and mess up on you, and takes a while to clean them out and fix them up and get them to run again. And he didn't have that time. So fortunately, that saved some people from being hurt because the gun jammed and he couldn't continue on. Basically, he walked out the back door and just. It was said that he turned himself over. He gave up easily. He didn't try to give anybody a problem or anything like that. But he didn't, I was going to say he didn't volunteer any information. He didn't even give information that would answer questions. He's pretty well been tight-lipped about the whole thing. He's not said much of anything about anything. And even now that he's in court, he's still not saying anything about anything. So we're not going to get any information from him, obviously. But with the authorities, they are finding out lots of it. They're finding out about his apartment. He did tell them that his apartment was booby-trapped, and boy, was it. They had thousands of rounds of ammunition. They had bunches of, they did find... I saw a thing on here. They said they found a 10 gallons of gasoline, and they took it out and detonated it somewhere else, and it was a huge, huge explosion. Something was different about this gasoline or whatever, but gasoline doesn't explode. Gasoline just sits there and burns. If you'll remember correctly, you could throw a lighted match on gasoline and it doesn't explode. It just sits there and makes a mess out of and burns away and continues to do that. So I don't understand that particular little bit about the gasoline burning and being a big explosion. Maybe they set it off for some way or another in this container or something. I don't know, but it didn't say much about it. It's all fairly early. They haven't done much of anything yet, but they are cleaning out his apartment. I'm not sure if they're through with that yet or not, but they are cleaning it out. They had lots and lots of things in there. They took pictures of everything, and they're slowly getting everything out. Hopefully, they won't have to destroy the building in order to get to it. All that's it. I've heard that bandied around too. People on the news saying they're going to destroy the whole building in order to get the stuff out of there that they need to take out of there. I don't know. People get a little carried away especially you get these people on television talking about any specific item, and they like Fox. They're fair and balanced. They got somebody on one side and somebody on the other side, but both of them are speculating. Both of them are making the whole thing up, and they're so it's fair and balanced, but it's fair and balanced stupid quite often. So if you have any requests or any thoughts about any of these things, 646-721-9887, give me a call. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call, and I'll be more than happy to get you on the air. I hopefully will see you arrive. I've got to go back and forth on one computer today. I messed up a computer, and so I'm working on a small computer today instead of the regular computer that I work on. It seems to be working okay, but it's still not the one that I normally am used to. So let's see if we can do this or not. Dancing Dog Cookies. Dancing Dog Cookies is the one sponsor that we have at the particular moment, and we'll let them talk to you for a minute, and then I want to emote on that.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Okay, DancingDogCookies.com, www.DancingDogCookies.com. You can go and purchase them right on the website if you like to, and they've got lots of things up there. You can go to the second page to purchase the cookies, and it's not bad. It's a neat. There's some interesting stuff on the front page that I think shouldn't be there, but that still. Second page is the cookies themselves. And you got pictures of them. You can purchase them online, and helps out, and it's easy to do. So you do that. DancingDogCookies.com, and easy to buy, easy to find, and they're not because they're not supposed to be cheap. The idea is they're a treat. Give them, at least try them. Try a package of them and see what you think, and you'll be back. You'll be back. Once you've done that, you'll be back. No problem. So, Dancing Dog Cookies, www.dancingdogcookies.com. That's the place to go and find a place to fix your cookies and eat them too. Something like that. Dancing Dog Cookies, 646-721-9887, 646-721-9887. 9887. Give me a call and let me know what you want to talk about, and we'll do that for you at this particular time. The other thing I wanted to talk about a little bit is Penn State. Boy, it came out today the kind of things they're doing to Penn State as a penalty, I guess. The NCAA has ruled that they've taken away 14 years of Coach Joe Paterno's victories. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but if they've taken away 14 years of the victories that the teams have won, I don't think I quite agree with that, because he wasn't the only one involved. He wasn't the one who did all of that. You got the teams. The teams themselves did that. He may have been the coach, and he may have urged them on. But and you can fine him, or you can put him in jail, or whatever you want to do. But taking away 14 years of victories for the team, that I think is a little bit bad. They've also imposed just a mountain of fines. It's like $30 million or $60 million. $60 million. Penn State, $60 million in fines. And they ordered it out of the postseason for 4 years, whatever that means. And they made put a cap on scholarships at 20 below the normal limit. I can see them penalizing the actual college itself because it's more than one person that was involved in this cover-up. But I think they've gone a little overboard. I mean, I am not a sports person in the first place, but to penalize them that much for this thing, I mean, they could pick out certain people and penalize them, but to penalize the entire team, I just don't think I agree with that myself. I think that's going a little bit too far personally. See, what do you think? 646-721-9887. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. Let me see what you think about it. I just don't know what they were thinking of. Holds the university accountable for the failure of those in power to protect the children and insists that all areas of the university community are to be held to the same high standards of honesty and integrity. That's well, and that's good. The university as an entity, yeah, but you're looking at the teams that happened over the years. They worked their butts off. They worked as hard as they could for this particular thing, and I don't think they were involved in the cover-up myself. Now, maybe they know something that I don't know, but I just don't think that's the case. So I think that the team's penalties are a little overboard. How do I want to say that? The college itself can be held responsible for it, but the team, for what they've done, I mean, that's 14 years of things that have been done by teams on that. And of course, now, of course, this is basically going to destroy Penn State, as far as I can see, because people are not going to want to go there. They're even putting sanctions on things that are going to happen in the future. For one thing, the scholarships, they're going to have 20 below the normal limit for the next 4 years. That's a significant thing. So these people are going to leave and go to other schools. Anybody interested in sports is going to go to other schools. So it's going to take years and years and years to bring back anything even possibly acceptable to normal as far as Penn State is concerned, as far as I can see. So this is going to destroy Penn State as a football place. Nobody's going to want to go there. Nobody's going to want to go to school there. And I'm not saying that football is everything, that football is the only thing that people go there for, the football is the only thing that people will change their opinion, change their mind and go to that school. It's not the only reason people go to school, but it's pretty important to the overall, probably the overall running of a school and overall. It's not going to be much money there. There's not going to be much people there if you've got to take. I mean, that's just, well, anyway, I think it's just I don't think it's a travesty. I mean, they'll live. The Penn State will still be around. It's just going to put them in the back burner for a long, long time, I think, before they come back. It's going to be pretty hard to get out of that, to be with any kind of dignity at all, period. So That's one of the things that happened this week. Well, it happened today. As a matter of fact, it was announced today that Penn State is doing this. They're wiping away 14 years of Coach Joe Paterno, period, all his victories and everything. But that and $60 million in fines, $60 million. What I want to know is where that money's going to go. Where is that money going to go, that $60 million? It's not. Is that going to go to the kids that he tempered with for 10, 14 years? Is it going to go for I don't know. Is that the only ones? I mean, maybe there were more. Some of these people that are coming out of the woodwork aren't real. I think they should penalize the people involved, just the people involved. I mean, directly involved, except that they've got people that have been covering this up for years. So I know it's hard to do. It's hard to figure out what to do and what not to do. So I guess I can't holler too much about it. It's the NCAA that's imposed a lot of these fines and penalties. And it says here that they've even reserved the right to add additional penalties later on if they want to. So I want to know where $60 million is going. That's one of the things I want to know. Where is it going? And they're not telling anybody, of course. I see. That $60 million is equivalent to the annual gross revenue of the football program. Annual gross, $60 million? It's a lot of money coming in from just every year from football, just football alone. The money must be paid to an endowment for external programs preventing child sex abuse or assisting victims and may not be used to fund such programs at the Penn State. Ah, okay. So the $60 million is paid into an endowment for external programs preventing child sex abuse or assisting victims and may not be used to fund the programs at Penn State. Okay. Okay, well, that's okay. I'm glad I've read a little bit further here and realize what they are using the money to do. So that's good. That's good. I'll accept that. That's I know, big deal if I accept it or not, but I do. So $60 million. That's a lot of money. And if you think about it, whoa. I could use a little bit of that myself, as a matter of fact. $60 million. Even a minute little bit of that $60 million. I don't want to say a millionth of it, but a thousandth of it or something like that. A millionth of it, isn't that a dollar? I could use a dollar for that. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. 646-721-9887. If you got something you want to say, if you want to agree with me or disagree with me or yell at me or whatever you'd like to do, be more than happy to talk to you. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. Or you can reach me on Skype, I guess. I don't know how exactly, but well, if you're coming in on Skype, I'll find you somehow or another. It does some sort of a boop, 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 boop thing. So I'll hear it. Go looking for you, I guess. Anyway, okay, so much for that. That's a pretty important thing that we've been talking about for a long time, but it's kind of worth mentioning because of the fact that they've sort of put an end to it and finalized it with that the fines and the things that they've done. But five years probation, that's so far, that's really going to hurt Penn State, I'm quite sure. And they probably can live with it. It's not like they didn't. $60 million is 1 year's benefit from, or 1 year's proceeds from the football that they made from football. $60 million. So they made that every year. God, I didn't realize football was that. Whew. Oh, well. I wonder University of Oregon brings in every year on football. That's wow. Now I'm I'm going to have to look all that up. Now I'm curious because I didn't realize that that much money was brought in by that $60 million. Wow. Okay. Anyway, we'll leave that alone. That's enough. There's enough of that. But if there's anything else you'd like to say about that, 646-721-9887. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. We're 32 minutes past the hour. We've got an hour or so to go in the program, and I'll let you know that what we're going to do. Okay. Sorry, I got lost there. Anyway, I want to get back to the shooting in Colorado because they've said a lot of things about that. Even despite events like the Columbine High School in 1999 and the Beltway sniper spree in 2002, the shooting at Virginia Tech in 2007, Fort Head and Fort Hood, Texas, shooting in 2009, support for gun control has actually declined throughout the country. And this is not making it more. This is not making it, not necessarily making it less either, but it's not necessarily, people are not clamoring. There was a thought that a lot of people would be hollering for gun control, a lot of people. But this is so outlandish, such an outrage that he's doing this, and it had nothing to do with anything. He did plan it ahead of time. He did do that. James, what's his name? Holmes. But he planned it a long time ahead of time. He was working on this for a long time because he had to go out and buy the ammunition. He had to go out and buy everything that he needed for it. And he was in full body armor when he went there. He was totally fully body armor. And I guess it was just so he could stand there and shoot longer or something. I don't know. But he basically wasn't there to commit suicide by cop, as they say. But he was there to shoot people, to kill people, obviously. But he did that. A lot of them did, a bunch of them. But anyway, a lot of people thought there would be people clamoring for gun control. A Gallup poll conducted in January found that 50% of the people are at least somewhat satisfied by the state of America's gun control laws. There about 42% of them are unhappy with it. But basically, people are happy with the... You see, the thing is, the only thing I heard was one person mentioned, I think it was, where is it here? Okay, here we go. Former Arizona State Senator Russell Pierce, who went on Facebook and commented on the massacre, and he said that had someone been prepared and armed, they could have stopped this bad man from most of this tragedy. He said he was 2 and 3 feet away from a lot of the people. I understand that he had to stop and reload one time. Where were the men of Flight 93, for example? Someone should have stopped this man. Someone could have stopped this man. That's if people had... Now I'm back to me again. He's saying they could have done something about it, but that would mean that people have to be running around carrying concealed weapons. I don't want that. I don't think that's good. That's not the idea. We don't need to have more people carrying concealed weapons. I went to a ball game several years ago in, matter of fact, it was Arizona, I'm trying to remember what town it was in Arizona, but to a basketball game. And there were a lot of people there that were carrying weapons. They were not concealed weapons. They were carrying six guns on their, I assume there were six guns. There were guns on their belt. They were wearing gun belt. And that's okay. I mean, a lot of people were doing it. It was acceptable, and nobody cared about it. But I don't want people carrying concealed weapons. I'm not quite ready for a lot of people running around carrying concealed weapons. And chances are, even if they were out in the open, we don't need people taking guns to the movies, that's for that matter. So I disagree that I would want another people in there with the guns and to shoot the man. But I think it was handled fairly good. From what I understand, the police were there with the response in a very short time. It didn't take them like 8 minutes or something like there. They were there and doing things. But of course, you can shoot a lot of people in 8 minutes. So it seems like forever. I guess the shooting only went on for like a couple of minutes, and then his gun jammed and he left and went outside. He was stopped outside the theater. He had actually exited the theater. He went. It was emergency exits that he was using. He bought a ticket, went into the theater, and then after the movie had started, he went up and went out to one of the emergency exits and propped it open with something to keep it open, and went out and got his he got his body armor on and picked up his weapons and went back in and led into him. And so this was all planned and all figured out, and he was very calm about the whole thing and did the whole trip. So it was only a couple of minutes of doing it. I can imagine what kind of panic and what kind of chaos went on inside that theater, however. I've heard of people that talked about it and how they were down crawling on their knees and crawling up the aisles and things like that. And it was a lot of people got hurt just in the panic of trying to get out of the theater. And what they didn't know is that he went out the emergency exit and out another way. And then when the police picked him up or stopped him, he gave up easily. He didn't try to fight anybody or do anything to defend himself. He just allowed them to pick him up and put him in handcuffs, I guess, and take him in. He didn't offer any information as to why he had done anything like this. He didn't say anything except to mention the fact that he had booby-trapped his house, his apartment, and why he would volunteer that information. They didn't have any reason. He didn't offer any reasoning as to why he had done it or why he would offer the information. But he did, and I'm glad that he did, because it would have been pretty bad for the people who went in there to check out his apartment had he not given that information. And I guess it was a lot of stuff in there. There was a lot of things in there that would have been booby-trapped and rigged to explode, different tripwires and the gasoline that was found in there and some... other liquid things that they didn't know for sure what they were yet. Whether they do now or not, I don't know. But the last information I have is about 8 to 10 hours ago. So they're still working on it. At one time I had heard that they were actually going to think about blowing up the building, the whole building, in order to solve the problem. That's an apartment building. You're going to be putting people out of homes, out of their homes. They evacuated 5 buildings around it at one time. I don't know for how long and whether they were out there long enough that they had to find a place to stay overnight. But they did. It's hard to say. I kind of think they overdid it. They kind of went overboard, but it may be important to do that. They go to extremes to make sure that everyone is safe a lot of times. And we go to more extremes nowadays than we ever did before, because, boy, if anybody gets hurt at all, they sue the city or the police department or the fire department or somebody. And that's just the way our economy, our society is going. First you call a lawyer and sue, and then you decide what you really want to do. It's too bad, but it's the way it is, and so we've got that to live with, and ready or not, we're stuck with that. That's our how our society continues on. So it's a possibility this whole thing could have been averted had somebody been carrying a concealed weapon. But I don't want to see everybody running around carrying concealed weapons. Legally or illegally, it doesn't make any difference. You just never know what happens. That's just not something. I don't want to go back to the Old West. I go to bed every night and listen to Gunsmoke and the old-time radio show Gunsmoke. And it's amazing how many people are constantly being... it seems like, according to that radio show, someone got killed every day. So, and it was no big thing, but it is a big thing in our society now. So, and I'm glad it is. But this is the worst disaster in the United States history. So, we're just going to leave it at that, and hopefully it won't happen again. And but I suppose sometime, somewhere, that didn't seem to me like that would be the worst disaster there is. But 10 people dead, or 10 or 12 people dead, we're not sure. Oh, I see. Two others died later. So there was 10 people dead on the scene, and a couple people died later at hospitals after the shooting spree had been over. So 12 people that died there, and then there were 58 people that were wounded. And most of those were by the assault weapon. Some of them were wounded, were injured, let's put it that way, rather than saying wounded, injured by trying to get out, and in the confusion and the resulting pandemonium of trying to get out of there. But a great many of them were actually wounded, and some of them more than once in the process. Because if you've got an assault weapon that can do hundreds of rounds a minute, then, of course, I don't think he was doing hundreds of rounds. He was clicking them up a little slower than that because the weapon itself, the cartridge or whatever you want to call it, holds about 100 rounds, and he had to put in a new one, and then it jammed. And I could say thank God it jammed, but it was a little late to be too good, too beneficial, because a lot of people got hurt. So anyway, bomb squads found a large number of explosive devices, a large number of tripwires. They don't know yet how they want to go about things. They've gone in there and without setting off anything yet. I believe they've put a little robot dude in there, goes in and fixes things and picks things up and brings them to you or something like that. They didn't put a person in there. They put a robot in there to find out what's going on. And they're finding a lot of things that were in his apartment, and so they were very careful about that. I'm reading this up here. It was interesting to hear the people who went on the television and discussed all of this. Most of them didn't know what they were talking about. Most of them, because nobody knew it. Nobody knew what was going on yet at this particular time, because this gentleman, in the last 6 months, obviously did get a little carried away. I imagine he had shown evidence of this before, if you had paid a close attention to what he was, how he was acting and what he was doing and things like that. So anyway, telephone number is 646-721-9887, 646-721-9887. 9887. If you want to continue on with that, or if you want to continue on with the Joe Paterno thing, we'll continue leaving the lines open for those two items. But what we're going to do now is I'm going to change, because I want to discuss our economy. I mean, this is scary, folks. Our economy is falling apart. Our economy is going to hell. And it's not just the United States, it's the world. The economy of the world is going to hell, and it's all affecting ours. But I think right at the moment, I don't want to make it sound like I believe that the United States is the only one of consequence, because we're not. But we are, I think, at this particular point, when we fall, when we teeter over the edge, it's going to take a lot of other people with it. And that's what I'm afraid is going to happen very, very shortly. Right now, for example, one thing that's happening is the United States, I guess, wait a second, I got to look this up, because there's a thing here. I would like to be able to read it rather than just say it from memory. 32 states are, how do I want to say it, in trouble. 32 states are actually so far under the water, so far in debt and owe so much money that they should be bankrupt. Our states are not allowed to go bankrupt, but 32 states are right now insolvent and below the point of money, having enough money that they should continue doing business. But they aren't bankrupt because they can't be. Now, in technicality, they are, because they are. That's where their financial position is right now. But they can't declare bankruptcy, and so. And I mean, some of these, California, Michigan, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Illinois, New NC, North Carolina, I hope, Indiana, New Jersey, Florida, Wisconsin, Texas, South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, Connecticut, Minnesota, Georgia. I zoom up on this thing and I lose my place. Nevada, Massachusetts, Virginia, Arkansas, Alabama, Colorado, Rhode Island, Idaho, Maryland, Kansas, Vermont, South Dakota, Tennessee, Virgin Islands, and Delaware are all insolvent. I mean, for 32 states officially bankrupt, they've borrowed $37.8 billion from the Treasury just to fund unemployment. California and New York and Michigan are the worst. But even with the money they borrowed, of course, that's got to come to an end too, because the United States government is going to be insolvent for very long. So we're going to be in a dire condition. But I think, basically, I believe that the United States, if once they teeter over the edge, they're going to send everything down. And it's going to affect several countries. Greece, of course, has started the whole thing, and they're already going on their way. They've asked for so many loans and so many bailouts that it's got to end. It's simply got to end. And exactly what that means is, I don't know. For one thing, you're going to probably jump out of the euro and use a different currency, because they can change their things a little bit then and get back into things. There have been countries, whole countries, that have declared bankruptcy and have come back. Well, I think only one of them has come back and continued on and done okay. A couple of them that have declared bankruptcies and are still trying to muddle their way out from underneath the whole thing. But Scranton, Pennsylvania is kind of an interesting one. They are so strapped for money that on Friday, a couple weeks ago, they made an unprecedented move. They cut the pay of all municipal workers to $7.25 an hour. That's the national minimum wage. And they cut their pay to $7.25. They didn't want to fire everybody. Their city mayor, I guess it was, who did this. He didn't want to fire everybody, but he couldn't pay them either, really. not the kind of money they're supposed to have. So he said he'd be very fair about it, cut them back to $7.25 an hour, which is minimum wage, which gives them something, but probably as much as they'd get on unemployment if they did fire them. But you don't want to just willy-nilly go out and fire everybody in the state that's on the state payroll. So he decided to go for the minimum wage thing and pay them $7.25 an hour and keep them around, which I think is a good idea. That's fine. And it's going to be hard, and who knows how long they're going to be that way, how long they're going to stay that way, how long they're going to have to suffer through at $7.25 an hour. But at least they're still there. At least they still have a job. And we've got so many people unemployed that it's just it's terrible right now. And we know that. So I applaud him for at least thinking about that and at least doing something about that to try to continue on with it. 721-9887, 646-721-9887, if you have any information, or you have any questions, or if you just want to chime in and say something, or yell at me, or whatever you want to do. If you disagree with what I've said, or what I'm rambling on about here, just give me a call, 646. That goes in front of there. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. And let me know what you think. And we'll be more than happy to talk to you. It's amazing what's going on. There's the 32 states that are they're not filing bankruptcy because they can't. But they should be. And so something's going to happen. Something's got to happen to take care of and change their position. I mean, they can't continue to go on this way either. And I hope they don't fire everybody just like so many people are doing. Do it like this one gentleman did in Pennsylvania and bring them down to minimum wage and start from there. One of the things that they've got to do, one of the things that declaring bankruptcy does is it gets rid of the huge, horrendous benefits packages that they've been paying. Why this has happened, I can't figure that out. Because you'd think that most of the people that are running these states and the major cities and such things have some intelligence. And they've got to know that you can't pay benefits packages that are this high. You can't pay the person the same amount that they were making forever, for life, and hire other people too. I mean, there's a point where it ends. In Pennsylvania, no city has actually declared bankruptcy. But Gary Lewis says there's the first time for everything. He's in Scranton, where he was born and went to college. It should be declaring bankruptcy for about $300 million in debt, and including $90 million in unfunded pension obligations. That's the thing that I think is doing more states and cities the worst thing. $150 million held directly by the city of Scranton Parking Authority and $15 million in mandatory arbitrary. Okay. Firefighters Union. Anyway, $300 million in the hole, and there's no way to work their way out of it. And you can, in some instances, some places, you could work your way out of it by adding a tax somewhere. But that's not really the answer. I think most of us are taxed enough already. There are some states that are not overtaxed and some that are. But just adding a tax to things is not going to solve our problem. It's too widespread at this particular point. So they've got to do something other than that to fix things. And cutting costs, cutting paychecks is one of the things. And that's one of the things we've got to do. But the benefits packages. So basically, the whole country is going to have to be making less money. Now, I don't think it needs to go down to $7.25 an hour ultimately when it all works its way out, but it's going to be closer to that than it is, that is what most people are making, you know, now. I mean, everybody thinks they're underpaid and underprivileged if they aren't making $65,000, $70,000 a year. And I'll be honest with you, I've never made $65,000 or $70,000 a year. Never. I've come close to that, but not made it. And I definitely not now. But but you've got to change something like that. You've got to take some of these into consideration. And it is government employees more than anything else. They've had a good. I don't know if I want to call it a good union, because a good union would be representing them properly, and these unions are not doing that. They're not doing that. Any time you've got a union that is wanting benefits and pensions that are more than you make, or as much as you made when you were there, it's got to be out of their mind. They've got to know it can't happen. They've got, I mean, where are the people who think? Somebody just doesn't think. And we've got an awful lot of them who aren't thinking. I don't understand how so many people can go bananas. Just simply go bananas. They've gone off their wall, off their noggin, so to speak. I mean, you just can't expect these high pensions and high retirement money. You can't afford it. I mean, to go, well, I don't want to make a suggestion as to what to do, but something has got to be done to bring that dollar figure down, is actually what it's got to be. $24 an hour is what some of the Scranton people were making in some of the households, some of the fire departments, fire people were making $24 an hour, and they're now making $7.25 an hour. If they can afford to do that and continue to make that on, and then they've got to address the benefits package, because that has to change. That just simply has to change. So if they could sit there for the $7.25 an hour, at least long enough while they redefine the benefits package, maybe they can accomplish something and get somewhere through this whole thing. At least they're trying it. They're working on it and trying to figure it out. And do something about it. And some places aren't even doing that. I think some places just figure, I guess, that the federal government's going to make it up. I don't know what else it's going to be, but that's what it could be. So basically, bankruptcy is a problem. Bankruptcy, we got three big cities in California who have declared bankruptcy. They've just done so. By doing that, and cities can declare bankruptcy, I guess, obviously, regardless of how big they are. And so there's going to be a lot more cities doing it, because that way they can just zero out that huge benefits program and that the unions have worked on and so hard to get. They can zero it out. They can bring the payroll, and by declaring bankruptcy, they could start from scratch. They could bring the payroll down to a livable wage, not $7.25, perhaps, maybe a little more than that. But that big, big package of benefits and things that you retire with, or your benefits package, has got to change. It's just got to come down so that it's a livable thing. The state of Oregon has already done this. I'm not sure if we're through with it yet or not. We've got a lot. Oregon is not one of the states that is so far under that they should be, that they technically declared bankrupt yet. We at this particular point, we're still making and bumbling through. But I know that big things have happened in Oregon that are difficult to make it through. Again, I know that. The city, Lane County is down to their, for example, county jails are only about a third of what it's supposed to be. They're only using about a third of the beds, for example, that are there because they don't have anybody to watch them. They don't have anybody to take care of them. So they let a bunch of people out. Just let them out. So, again, this has got to make a big, big difference in the way, what I want to call them, bad people consider what to do. Because when you know you're not going to be put in jail, when you know you're not going to be put, you may be declared a bad guy, you may be, something may be done, but they know that you can't be put in jail because they don't have room for you. They can't put you in jail. They were at their absolute full point before, and now they've got to let a whole bunch of them out. So they know if they do something wrong, nothing's going to be done. You know, you can have a judge tell you you're a bad person until hell freezes over. But that doesn't necessarily stop you from doing bad things, because somebody just saying it doesn't mean anything unless they can do something about it. And, well, we're such terrible shape that we can't do anything about it at this particular point. So something's got to happen to take care of things. I don't know what it's going to be, but there it is. I guess we have a couple of people on our chat line, and you're going to have to forgive me because I can't do the talking and the reading and watching the chat line too. So I can't be with you, I'm afraid. That's just one of these things that's going to have to be let go for this particular day. But anyway, back to the business. I mean, we've got things that are in real trouble. We've got our economy is bad. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. The amount of money that we've got to make up is going to be enormous. I mean, we're getting close to time when we've got to think about who can fix this. Who can fix this? Obviously, the man we have in charge right now is not the one who can. He can't fix it because he doesn't know how. He doesn't know anything about how to adjust things and work on things. I was telling you in Oregon, I found it here over the weekend, 92 prisoners were freed in 3 days this month as the jail closed a whole wing of its 507 bed facility. They let 92 of them go, and not only that, there's an unknown number of people who come in there every day and are turned loose because they didn't have room for them in the first place. Lane County is filling less than a third of its jail beds, following the elimination of 64 positions in the sheriff's department. 28 deputies have been laid off, forcing the sheriff to also cut back on patrols. There are now 6 to 8 hours every day when citizens may call for help from a deputy sheriff, and nothing's going to happen because there's no one there to help anybody. There's no one there to respond. And that's scary. We need to have something done about that. That's just right here in Oregon, in Lane County, where I live, that this is happening right now. And this is interesting because since the 1990s, Lane County voters have been asked to approve a law enforcement levy 13 times, and every time the voters said no. They've been asked to approve a law enforcement levy 13 times, and every time they say no. I can understand that because people have enough taxes. They can only go so far. But there's another reason why the tax rate is so low in the state of Oregon. It's because in Lane County, a whole lot of money, a whole lot of the county land-wise, is owned by the federal government. And they don't pay taxes. They don't pay local taxes. The land is managed by the Forest Service, and they don't pay anything. So they have less money coming in than a lot of other places because of that. The federal government owns the land. Now, there are some interesting ideas of how to take care of that. For example, no one's managing that land at this particular point. Literally, if a tree falls over and dies, they leave it there. They don't do anything about cleaning things up. A lot of people are saying, especially with forest fires, that they need to go in there and clear that land and pick up some of the slash and clean it up so that it doesn't catch fire, because we lose millions of dollars in fires every year. So they could perhaps use some of that money from some of those things that they take out of the forest to clean the forest. Not necessarily chopping trees down willy-nilly or making nothing left of the forest, but just doing a cleaning up process to try to help take care of the forest and manage the forest. And there would be forest products that can come out of that. And if that money went our way, it would do a lot towards helping. So there are ways to think about it and ways to try to figure it out and do something about it. But nobody's done that yet. A lot of thought has been put into it, and I think a lot of ideas have come from it, but it's just still ideas. That's all it is. That's all it is ideas. There's been a lot of things that have been thought about to help the economy. One thing is we haven't done much as far as what I want to call it, green power. In this case, I'm thinking of windmills, wind power generated by the wind. There's in Oregon, a $60 million project, $680 million project, is positioning a power plant in the area of Troutdale in Oregon, and they're trying to build a way around that. And they're getting help. $680 million isn't a long ways to go when we're, $4 billion in debt? $4 trillion dollars in debt. I mean, it's so far and so much money that it's just hard to comprehend the difference. I mean, I think in millions of dollars, and that's a lot of money. And then I think in billions of dollars, that's a huge amount of money. But we're talking trillions of dollars that this country is in trouble. Trillions of dollars we're in debt. And we're not going about getting out of it. I mean, we've got to make some change. And the only way to make changes like that is to make changes in who's making the decisions. And that's what we've got to do. So it all gets back to, I keep saying over and over and over again, you've got to think real hard about voting at this time and in this year and think about making a change. I mean, and it's not just the president. We need to change the president, but we also need to change a lot of our senators and a lot of our representatives to get somebody in there who at least can financially put our house in order at this particular time. I mean, there's a lot of other things to worry about, too, and a lot of other things to think about. But right now, we're worried about the budget. It's a huge different change that's got to be made as how money is being spent and where we're finding money. Okay, we're not talking about borrowing money from China. Because as the big picture goes, we're only a few hundred million dollars into China. I mean, it's not that much. Because when you're thinking in terms of $1 trillion in debt, and we're $4 trillion in debt, that can only be done by not spending the money. Just simply that, not spending money. You got to do a little bit of right. And I understand raising taxes, although it's very, very disturbing, and most people wouldn't like to do it, and it's bad, but a few percent raising taxes can be done and wouldn't hurt the people that much to do that. But we've got to worry about finding jobs for people. That's the most important thing, finding jobs for people. And this president has proven that he doesn't know how, absolutely doesn't know how. And I personally think, see, I'm not a Mitt Romney fan. I'm really not. And yet, right now, I have to be, because he's the other option. If I can't get Newt in the position of being president, and I think he could do the best job, Newt Gingrich, but if I can't, and I'll wait until the Republican National Convention, and I'll push for Newt to be up there, because it's not impossible yet. It is not impossible. They could change their mind, and they could nominate Newt for president in that convention. It's possible. And I'm going to wish and wish and wish that they do. But if we're going to be stuck with Romney, at least he's the one who has experience in making jobs for people. I mean, you can say what you want. He's made more money. And if he's made more money, that means he's made more jobs, like it or not. That's the way it works, because you gotta, when you're working in that big a position, when you're working from the top and you're making that kind of money, you gotta be making jobs for people, not just taking them away or doing whatever. You've got to know how to do that. And so he's got the best experience in doing it, because he's made a huge amount of money. I mean, just a huge amount of money. And so he's our best bet so far. He's got to be the one that can do the job. And I do believe that Mitt Romney is one who isn't afraid to ask for help. Ask the person who knows how. And I think he's been very good over the years at deciding who the person that knows how is. That's the important part. You can ask people to help you. And if you're asking somebody who doesn't know how to do it, you're not getting anywhere. But the person who knows how and asks questions of the person, or help from the person, someone else who knows how, maybe can get somewhere. And that's what we need. That's what we need. We've got to change the arrogance that we have in office at this moment. Just absolutely have to. Because what we have at the moment is all arrogance. And the most thing, and I'm impressed with Mr. Romney. In the more I hear him do his speeches, the more I hear him do his talks, and the more I hear him talk about things, he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't say one thing and do another. Although we don't have any positive proof, because we're not following what he has done, and there's no reason for him to have to tell us how he's managed his companies and his businesses in order to get what he's done. The fact that he's made that huge amount of money says it. It simply says it. He's done it, and he's done it successfully. Okay? There's no doubt about that. How he did it, I don't know. How he did it, I don't care. I do, but I don't. Because at this particular point, he has proven he has been successful at adding businesses and adding jobs and making money. He has been successful at doing it. So consequently, he's the one we want in there doing the differences and the changes and doing the work on making the money. So basically, we've got to get to change. That's what we've got to do. We've got to put some new people in there in all the positions. We had an election just not long ago, and we changed a bunch of the people, and I think most of those are doing, are doing a fair job, are doing what most of the people have asked. And so they're okay, but we've got to change more of them. We've got to change. See, again, though, I mentioned it before, I'm a little afraid if we go from all being from the Supreme Court, I mean from the Congress, from it all being Democratic to all being Republican. I guess what would make the difference is the person who's in charge, the president. We've got a president who doesn't take into consideration other people's ideas or other people's thoughts. He says he does, he says he does. But when you come to the table with an idea, if it isn't what he wants, it's wrong, period. And so he doesn't consider it. So we've got to have someone who has got a way of thinking about things that he can give other people's ideas a thought and think about them. Basically, I don't know who's making up the decisions behind the scene. I am thoroughly convinced there is someone making the decisions behind the scene right now. Our president is not the one doing that. I don't think he has the intelligence to do it. I don't think he has the experience for doing it. I know he doesn't have the experience of doing it. And so, consequently, we've got to have someone that's behind the scene making the decisions. That's an absolute positive thing that's got to be done. And so, what my opinion is, we've got the wrong people behind the scenes making the decisions. So we've got to change that. By changing the president, we'll change the decision makers. By hiring Mr. Romney as a president, we do have someone who we know either can make the decisions himself, or at least knows the people who can make the decisions for him. And he, well, not necessarily make them for him, but can assist him in making those decisions and making a better problem, better project to them. So we've got to do that. We've got to change the economy. And by changing the president is how we change the economy. And it's not going to be easy because it's, I don't know how fast you could turn things around. I don't know. It's not obviously going to happen overnight. You're not going to elect him president and things are going to happen instantly. It's not going to happen that way. This is a big country. This is a big place. This is a huge, huge budget we're talking about. It's not going to happen overnight. Plus the fact, some of what we do is going to be adjusted, I'll say, by the rest of the world. The things that we do may not happen like we want them to because of what's happening in the world. Because the whole world has got a problem right now, and they're figuring in the picture. They've got to be considered. I mean, we've got Spain in trouble. France is in trouble. Italy is pretty close to it. And these are big people. These are big economies. These are not small economies. They aren't as big as ours, granted, but they're getting close and getting up there. And right now, I think Germany, and we've helped Germany out, and they're pretty well put, pretty well set. But they're running out of money too, just like the rest of the people. So a lot of people we've got to consider. It'll be interesting to see what happens to Greece when they go through the things. They're going to be going through terrible things in Greece, even worse than now. And we've seen that in Greece, when things get really, really bad, the citizens themselves do flare up and get upset. And you can't blame them. I mean, here, let's say you were one of these people who had been making $150,000 a year, and now all of a sudden you're cut back to $30,000 a year. How are you going to accept that? And plus the fact you were promised to have just huge pensions and benefits when you retire or when whatever happens to make you leave the job that you can't have anymore. They've all been taken away from you. And just we've seen our a lot of our money that we had tied up in the stock market when it went away, and it just disappeared. It just wasn't there. Well, this is happening to everybody there. Everybody is having money just disappear because it didn't exist in the first place. That's what was wrong. And that's what we've got to consider is people who don't lie to us. That's what we've got to try to consider putting in office is people who are not going to lie to us. And it's so hard to find those because they get in office and it's so hard not to lie. It's so hard not to promise things that you can't deliver. It's so easy to promise things to people as a politician. I hate to use the word politician because it's taken on a bad connotation. People don't think much of politicians anymore. And that's when people run, a lot of them run as not being a politician. But you are. That's not a person. That's not a type of person. It's a thing that you are. But let's try being a politician that tells the truth. That tells us what they can do and can't do, and sticks to it. Or at least if they don't, and there's a possibility that they can't. There's a possibility that once they get into office that things are a lot different than they thought it was. And things are going to have to be different, have to change. But if he can explain it to you and show you how and why, it'll be a lot easier to take. It's hard to explain. It's hard to understand it. I know that, but it would be really nice if we had politicians who tried hard not to lie to us. Because we've got so many places that we've been lied to, and we've got to have somebody who can put it together and try to hold our economy at least a little bit together, because I don't want the dollar collapsing because so many people are depending on it. Not just our country, every country. Well, there are some that aren't. But a lot of people are depending on that dollar, the United States dollar. And there's so much that's going to happen. And if we lose it, it's going to be huge, huge. Wall of dominoes that's falling. What else can I say? Anyway, we're coming close to the end of the time. We've only got 5 minutes left. If there's anything you want to say, if I've been prattling on and I don't make any sense, give me a call. 646-721-9887. We don't have a long time to discuss it, but 646-721-9887 if you have something that you want to say, if you want to comment on the fact that maybe I've all lost in the middle. I'm all wrong. It's hard to believe I am all wrong. But it's possible. But at this particular point, we're just in trouble. And I don't know what we're going to do about it. But basically, the thing to do to start is simply pay attention. We're going to have some debates coming up here before long. We've got the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention. And by the way, I wanted to let you know that all of these things, if you want to go to KRBN radio, I keep forgetting the radio part, KRBN radio www.skippyisaverygooddog.com and click on that. You'll find a different place you can go to. You can go find our blog here that you can see and see all the different back issues of it. On the right-hand side of the screen, you can click on back issues and hear programs from before. You can, on the left-hand side of the screen, there's lots of things. For one thing, you can look at the Electoral College and read about the Electoral College. A lot of people want to just get rid of the Electoral College. I think we could do that, but some people think we couldn't. You can click on the Electoral College and read about it and see for yourself and see what you think. Also, there's a thing over there where you can click on the U.S. Constitution. And I'm amazed and surprised and pleased that that is one of the most clicked on pages in our website. It's the U.S. Constitution. By far, I would say almost 2-1, it's looked at and read, and people are spending an hour or two reading that page, to get information. That's what our entire economy is based on, the U.S. Constitution. Your senators, you can go see all your senators and who they are and how to reach them and how to send messages to them. Same thing with the representatives. You can go over there and see who they are and how to reach them and how to send messages with them. If you are in Oregon, and I am, that's why I put it over there. If you haven't registered to vote, you can go there and register to vote. Then you can go to all the states and find out about how to vote. There's a lot of information over here on this whole thing that you can read and find out how to do things. So the left-hand side of the page, the menu part of the page, gets you lots of information you can read and take a look at, and it's easy to do, and you don't have to bother anybody while you're doing it. So, you might say, oh, there we go. Go back and see if anybody has called. No, okay. All right, that's the end of it. Basically, we've run out of time. We've basically done everything that there is to do, and whether we like it or not, there it is. That's the thing. Get as much information as you can, possibly as much information as you can possibly force into your head, I guess is what I want to say, and listen and talk about it and discuss it with your family. Think about it, and then be prepared to vote. The voting actually is November, and that's on there too. But that's what we've got to do. This we've got to do this by November. We've got to consider all of this by November because we're running out of time, and there's an awful lot of stuff to consider. So by the November is when you'll find out. And wonder which one of these is. Okay. So anyway, we're 90 seconds from the end of the program, so we'll say thank you for listening, or thank you for listening to me prattle on about all the things that I thought. But go visit caribbeanradio.com and make up your mind what you want to do and how you want to do it. So thank you for listening, and thank you from Robin. I'm sure she's going to be recuperating and doing better later. So thank you. Bye.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.